Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
My, can I hear some celebration? Come on, I feel some excitement in the air today. Wow, that was incredible. So incredible. What a celebration for those. Yeah, go ahead and have a seat. But don't stop celebrating. I was 16, right? So 16 people that got baptized, praise God. Some for the first time, some that were baptized as a baby, and some that just rededicated their hearts and their lives to Christ. So praise God. We're going to open up at the very end of the service an open baptism. And so I know you didn't come prepared. We've got a towel for you if you choose to be baptized. At the end of the service, we're going to give you that opportunity. So if there's anyone here that needs to take that next step, that's been praying and thinking about taking that next step, we're going to give you that opportunity today. So it's so exciting. This was a little different for us. The setup on everything this week was a little challenging. The water was a little cold. We got it up to about 75, 76, which is still, it's cold. But you are Iowans. You are strong. Winter, ready for winter, right? All right. So, well, one more time for those that took that next step. It's good to see friends, family members, co-workers that came to celebrate with those that took that next step. So we welcome you to Crossroads Church. My name is Joseph. I serve as the lead pastor, and I would love to meet you after service. If it's your first time, if you're here just visiting, I'd also like to meet you as well. I know you might have come from a different church, and we don't want to pull you from another church. We just want to celebrate as the church, the big church. All right, so welcome to Crossroads. Today, I've got a brand new friend, Pastor Jay Newland. I'm going to introduce, come on up, brother. I want to welcome him to the stage. Let's give him a great big hand. I've just met him recently. And what are we laughing? There's nothing funny about it. He's such a great man. I did get to do lunch with him, and we've talked and texted and such. And so he's been a great encouragement, a great friend, and look forward to see what God has in the future. So he's going to be preaching for us today. Let's give him another great big hand.
Awesome. Well, I do want to say thank you to Joseph and Tammy, and it was really cool how God has connected us. And I know this church, it's so great to see so many youth and students here. And the students went to camp, and I'm sure you heard about all the cool things that happened. But you know, one of the cool things was through camp, God connected through kids, connected us adults. And so it was really cool. I think you all know how blessed you are to have Pastor Joseph and Tammy. So, thank you guys. Well, and I second what Pastor Joseph was talking about here. This was awesome. And it was really cool. Just earlier this week, I said, how many are getting baptized? He said 10. And man, that line just got longer. So that was awesome. And this is a hard act to follow. But we're going to talk about baptism this morning. And we're going to look at a passage in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And the title of this message is, The Water is Just Fine. The water's just fine. You know, when it came in, and I walked in and I saw this, the first thing I did was I came in and I put my hand in there. I was like, I want to feel this. And I was telling a few people, I was baptized December 23rd, 1997. I was like 10 or 20, 3. And I was baptized in Springfield, Missouri. You know, it was probably 20 degrees outside. And I was baptized in a church where they had a baptismal up in the balcony. And I remember I was the only one baptized that day. And I walked, the pastor walked in front of me. And he got into the water and he turned around with his eyes like this. And he said, "The deacons forgot to turn the heater on." And 76 would have been awesome, because that had to have been like in the 60s. My teeth were chattering when I spoke into the microphone. But so I think about that experience. And so now every time there's a baptism, before I kind of put my hand in there. But the water is just fine. And you know, it's not so much, when it comes to baptism, it's not so much about cold or hot. It's about death to life. And see, that's what this signifies, and what you saw as people were coming up. This is signifying life, brand new life. That's what we're celebrating. And so, you know, just as I was thinking about this message and what the story we're going to look through, this kept coming through, and I was thinking about a month and a half ago, we were at a kind of a picnic for some pastors, and it was in the backyard where they had a pool, and it was kind of a cooler day, and my daughter had brought her suit because they said you can come swimming, and they had told her, "Hey, the water's fine, water's great, it's a heated pool," and she got in, and she was like, "It's so awesome in here, it's so awesome." And I want to just share with this kind of picture in mind. The water's just fine. So, and this message is really for everybody. If you're here and you just came up out of the water, this message is for you. If you're here and you've never been in the water, there's something here for you. And if it's been a while since you were baptized, and it's been a while since you've led someone to the water, because we're going to look at two people here today, and one was leading the other to the water, all right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through this passage, and I'm just going to stop along the way. We're going to go through this story together, and I'm going to share some observations and some challenges. So starting with verse 26, we're going to look at Philip, okay? And Philip was one of the original followers of Jesus. And here's where it picks up. "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah." Now, I want to just give you a little background. First of all, just before this had happened, the book of Acts, written by a man named Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke, he was telling the story about the first man who gave his life for Christ. His name was Stephen. And after Stephen was martyred for testifying about who Jesus was, his life, his death, his resurrection, it says that the first church, the early church, was persecuted. And then after this death of Stephen, people scattered everywhere. But what the enemy meant for harm, God used for good, because what happened was they took the message of Jesus everywhere they went. So they scattered from Jerusalem, and they started just going all over. And then he picks up the story, and he says, we're first going to talk about Philip. We're going to talk about Philip and this amazing thing that happened as he connected with this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, this guy was a person of importance from Ethiopia. He was a treasure. It says he was a eunuch. I'm not going to go into what a eunuch is. If you don't know what it is, I'll just tell you, just research it on your own. We're going to keep this PG. But he was a person of importance, great importance. And God took this person of importance, this person that would go back to Ethiopia, changed, and Philip, and brought them together. And it says that he was under the authority, he was serving the queen. And some of your translations, if you're reading in your Bible, you might see Candace, which is my wife's name. Jesus is the king of my heart, and Candace is the queen of my life. And I love her, and I appreciate her. But so this man was of great importance, and God brought them together. And how did he do this? We're told that Philip met an important man, this important man, and it says this, this happened with this divine appointment. And how did he do it? Well, it started with the Word of God. It started with this Ethiopian was sitting in a carriage reading from the Old Testament. He was reading from the Old Testament because the New Testament had not been written. It was actually just written on the hearts of those early followers of Jesus, Philip being one of them, who walked with Jesus, and he was carrying the good news only in his heart. And so here he is following the angel of the Lord speaking into him and saying, go. Go. Go down this road. Go down this road. And so he follows the direction, walks alongside, and hears the book of Isaiah coming from the carriage. This is important, and this is the first point I want to share with you. His word is meant to be publicly read and said. It's really important that you pick up on this. This Ethiopian sitting there reading, searching, hungry for God's word, reading it aloud. And it's because of that, that was this open door. We live in a culture right now, in a time where reading the Bible is not exactly popular. And if you can think about this. Reading it out loud in public. That's what was happening. I just came back from a week of school doing some graduate work, and I was in, I took a flight to Phoenix, Arizona, and I was sitting, and I didn't get the window seat, and I didn't get the aisle. All right? So I only got one armrest, and I had a little carry-on bag that I had put under my seat, and then it was in my Bible. And I had an early flight, and so I hadn't spent time like I do in the morning yet in the Word. And I thought, I'm going to put this tray down. I have a big Bible that's a journaling Bible, and so I said, I'm going to do this. And I brought this Bible out, and just dropped it right there on that little tray and started reading. And within 3 or 4 minutes, the stewardess came down to take my order for a drink, and she looked at me and she said, yes, yes. About 5-10 minutes later, the other stewardess, and she was kind of like the bouncer, she was the one that was telling people about their bags and stuff like that and what they needed to do. And I had a tough conversation with somebody, and I look up and she's looking at me, and she was kind of a strong lady, and she looked at me, and that's a good book you're reading there. I'm telling you, it's so important in this time that we take God's word with us. And we read it. I want to ask you, find a place, a time that it's your time with God, and be prepared to take it with you. Be prepared to read it in public so you can have conversations about it, because people are all around you asking questions. And as you're reading the Word, it gives God the opportunity to read you and to talk to you. You see, the Ethiopian swung a door open as he was reading the Word out loud. Let's see what happens next here. It says, verse 29, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Go over and walk along beside the carriage. The Holy Spirit said. I think sometimes when we see that in Scripture, we're like, wow, what was that like? And we don't know if this was audible, or, as we know in the Old Testament, it talks about a still, small voice. I want you to hear this. God wants to speak to you on a regular basis. He wants to talk to you. And most of the time, listen, I haven't heard the audible voice of God. I've been in ministry for 20 years, but I hear his still small voice through his Holy Spirit. And you're probably wondering, well, what does it sound like? What's that like? How do I know? How do I know if it's the Holy Spirit? And I want to just kind of illustrate it just for a second. You know, now on our phones, if you put a number in and you've got your friend's number and you put their name to it, when they call you, you know, okay, that's my friend James. Okay, this is James when I pick up. Now, there was once a time when you didn't have, this was a long time ago, when you were wondering, you'd pick up the phone, who is this? Or if you don't have this person in your caller ID, and you pick up the phone, and if it's somebody that you've talked to and that you spend time with, and they start talking, you didn't need caller ID. Because you're like, okay, this is my friend. This is my friend. Every once in a while, I'll have somebody that will call me that I don't have on caller ID, but I know. And you may have experienced this where they say, hey, how's it going? And you don't know who they are. And they just start picking up like you are really great friends. You're like, okay, I got to talk for a while to figure out who this is. But when it's a friend, when it's somebody you've spent time with, you know. You didn't need the caller ID. So when you're spending time in the Word, when you're spending time right here worshiping Him, when you're worshiping Him in your car, when you choose to spend time with God over other things more and more and more, guess what? You start to know that wasn't me. That wasn't me. It is an unmistakable, still small voice. It's like, you know, that wasn't me. And He wants to talk to you every day. Every day. And this is important, because God wants to lead us to specific people at specific times for a specific purpose. He wants to talk to you, not just about you, but about the people in your life. He wants to speak into your heart, lead you, guide you, to bring you into contact with other people, just like this Philip and the Ethiopian. It's really important. But here's the struggle, and I'll illustrate this with a couple weeks ago. We were driving along and driving on Q Street in Omaha, and my son was sitting next to me, and I'd forgotten he had a soundtrack happening while we were driving, and he had his earbuds in. And we were driving along, and he really appreciates nice cars. And right alongside us pulls up, and we're driving just kind of same speed as a Bentley, which is a really nice, super crazy expensive, unnecessarily expensive car, okay? And so I'm driving along, and I see it, and I was like, I didn't look at Jackson when I said that. I said, man, that's a nice Bentley. Check that out, Jackson. Man, that's a nice car. About 10 seconds later, the car speeds up just enough, and then my son says, whoa, look at that Bentley right there. I said, Jackson, I just said, like, you know, 20 seconds ago. And here's the point, though. Sometimes God's speaking to us, but we're not tuned in to his frequency. Some of you might be wondering, you're like, man, that's so cool what happened with Philip. Why doesn't that happen to me? Here's the deal. God's probably trying to get through. I know he is. I know he has something to say to you. He really wants to interrupt your day. He wants to interrupt your work day. He wants to interrupt your weekend. He wants to be in it. He wants to show you things. He wants to stop you and say, right now, go talk to that person. He wants to do this. But are you tuned in? Are you tuned in? I want to challenge you. This week, I'm going to throw this challenge down. Practice silence, okay? And ask God to speak to you. Take 10 or 15 minutes of your day and just say, I'm going to turn everything off. And maybe it's in your car. Listen, I love listening to music, but maybe it's just saying, okay, on the way to work, I'm going to turn everything off. I'm going to talk to God for a few minutes, and then I'm just going to listen. And then say, God, would you speak to me today? I know you want to talk to me. I'm opening my heart to you. Would you speak to me? Believe me, if you practice this, it's going to happen. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. Now, we're going to pick this story up again, and so Holy Spirit said, go walk alongside that carriage, okay? Go walk alongside the carriage. Philip kind of obeys, and we'll see. This is what he said. Philip ran. Philip ran over, heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, Do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. How many of you like to run? How many of you love running? You like, okay, small minority, right? Okay, all right. I'm not into running. I watch my son run cross country, and I admire him, and I'm just like, wow. That's awesome. I like watching, but I would rather just take it easy, right? But I love Philip's urgency. And here's another thing. When God speaks to you about doing that thing after you take that challenge, run to do it. The enemy will want you to hesitate, but Philip, he wasn't messing around. He ran. And here's why. Everyone needs someone to show them the way. Everyone that was right here in this water needed someone to show them the way. In fact, it was so great watching people help them into the water. It was a beautiful picture of what God has called you to do. To show them the way. Everyone needs someone. Everyone needs someone. Here's the deal. You have a great pastor, and his family. You have great associate pastors and youth pastor and other leaders in this church. The people that come up here and share the good news and teach the word. Awesome. But here's the deal. They cannot lead all your neighbors to Jesus. They cannot go day after day into your workplace and sit with you and just say, hey, whenever you want me to, I'll go talk to them for you. They can't do that. In fact, that's not even their calling. But you can. In fact, that's exactly what God has called you to do. He has called you to show others the way. Imagine this. Imagine this. Over the next year, if every single person in here showed two people the way, what would happen? What would happen to this church? If every single person would say, I'm going to bring two or three people, say, yeah, this church would at least double in size. That's right. You need more seats. You'd have all kinds of good problems. And men, I want to speak to you for just one moment. God has you positioned around other men for a purpose. Statistics tell us that if a man in the family is the first one to come to know Jesus, there's a 75% chance the rest of the family will follow. So if you're one or two people that you bring is a head of a household, it'd be a lot more than what I was talking about. Because there'll be a wife and kids and brothers and sisters, the people that you know that are hurting and searching. If you start showing them the way, you start listening, you start reading your word in a place that maybe they see it. On your lunch break, you open that book for 10 minutes, every lunch break, see what happens. See what happens. God wants to do amazing things. So my challenge is run. To invite someone to Crossroads. This week, run to them. Students, run to your friends to invite them to the next youth function. Run to them with urgency, as if their future depends on it, because it does. Run with urgency. All right, so we go into a little more detail with what Luke is sharing. Not only do we know that he's reading from Isaiah, we get the passage. It says, the passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. This scripture here is a prophetic scripture. These two verses out of the book of Isaiah are foretelling about Jesus, about his life and his death. You know, I was reading this and I had to look something up because I wanted to know the exact figure here. In the Old Testament, there are 23,145 verses. And and that moment in time, as the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, directed Philip, it just happened to be those two verses talking about Jesus. Joseph talked about this, the moment that we just witnessed, that God had things planned out. He's orchestrating things, but he needs people that will listen, run, and be a part of it. That's all he needs. That's you. God will pave the way. Some of you have family members that you've been praying for and praying for and praying for. God is paving the way. The spiritually curious are asking questions about Jesus. They just don't know it yet. You get to be the ones telling them. The Ethiopian was asking a question, just an innocent question. He's reading this, and he's searching, and he's wondering. And he's like, is Isaiah talking about Isaiah, or is he just talking about some other person? For Philip, if you like baseball, this was like a hanging curveball. If you ever played baseball, who's played baseball here? All right. So you know, it was the perfect pitch. Philip's walking up, he's running up, he's so excited, and he's probably thinking, what am I going to say? And the Holy Spirit says, here you go. He's just going to ask you about who Jesus is, not even knowing his name. And Philip's like, oh, wow. Wow. This is going to be fun. I get to tell him about the man I followed for 3 years, and I watched him die on the cross and raise again, come back to life, spend time with us, and go up to heaven. And I can't wait to tell somebody else. For you, God wants to orchestrate these things because what's in your heart, it has to get out. It has to get out. The joy of knowing Jesus, knowing what went under and what came up. Amen. That joy, God wants you to let it out. Wants you to let it out. And there are people all around you that are asking questions that maybe on the surface you're like, what? But as you get into conversation with them, it'll go a little deeper and the Spirit will pave the way for a conversation that leads directly to Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life. That's what he wants to do. So it says, as they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, what we can infer from this is we didn't know the whole conversation or how long it took for Philip to share his story about Jesus. But somewhere along the way, he talked about baptism. Somewhere along the way, he said, I want to tell you what I saw Jesus do. The beginning of his life, John the Baptist actually baptized this man. And then one of the last things he told us was to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He probably talked to him about that mission, that he's like, this is my mission, this is my life. You may not be a pastor, but let me tell you something, you're all on a mission. You're on a mission. That's what Jesus said before he went up into the heaven, said, I'm going to come back. Until then, go, run, find them, tell them. So conveniently, they come on up on this water. The Ethiopian asks, why not me? You talked about that baptism thing. Hey, why not me? What a great question. What a great question. Philip's prompt baptism following this question confirms God's answer. If you have Jesus, you can get in the water. But here's the point I want to share with you right now is a question. Are you asking questions that God has already answered? What are the questions you're asking about your life and your heart and your future? You see, the Ethiopian's question was a positive one, but for some of you, maybe you're asking different questions. Questions like, how can I get baptized if I'm still struggling? How can I do that? How can I get up into that water if I still got stuff going on in my life I'm not proud of? Or maybe it's not right now. It's, I want to do that, but that one thing in my past, I can't shake it. Instead of saying, why can't I get in there? You're saying, how can I get in there? You know, as I was thinking about this and kind of just looking at this one piece, God just planted one verse in my heart. It's John 8:36. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. If you have Jesus Christ, you are saved by His grace, by His power. You are saved. The enemy wants to tell you, no, you don't belong. No, you can't get in there. We talked about, how do I know if it's the Spirit? You align what you're hearing in your mind. If you can't align it with the Word of God, pretty good bet it's the enemy. If you can't take those thoughts and say, okay, yeah, that's what God says about me. So I just want to encourage you right now to think about this. Maybe, just maybe, you came here and you didn't plan on getting in the water. And you've been saying, I can't. Let me tell you something. Every person in here, pastors included, we got struggles. That's because we understand. And we have to constantly be reminded by God's Word and by His Spirit, we are saved by grace. Undeserved favor. It's not checking off everything. I've done everything perfect today. Praise God. No. If that were the case, we wouldn't need Jesus. We needed Jesus because we can't do it on our own. I'm going to circle back to this in just a minute, but I want to finish out this story. In verse 39, okay, they've gone into the water. It says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. What a powerful, amazing scene. Philip was snatched away. I'll read this in just a second. But he was actually snatched and like transported 20 miles away. Amazing. I like to kind of, every time I see this, I'm more of a Star Wars guy, but Star Trek. Anybody like Star Trek, like you're a Trekkie? It's okay, you can raise your hand. Nobody's gonna, yep, we got a couple. That's great. But there's that point where they say, synergize, and they're transported to just like a whole nother planet. That's what's happening here. I mean, what an incredible thing for Philip to experience. It says it snatched him away. This word, snatched, in the Greek is literally this, take hold of. The Holy Spirit took hold of Philip, took hold of him. And that, you know what, you're probably not going to experience the synergizing and being transported 20 miles away, but I guarantee you the Holy Spirit wants to take hold of you. And the Spirit wants to take hold of you if you're willing to let go. I want to explain that for just a second. The Spirit wants to take hold of you if you're willing to let go. You see, baptism is this celebration, as we talked about, of an old life going under and the new life coming up. So here's the question. What are you holding on to? What are you still holding on to that you won't let go? Is it shame? Is it a part of your old life that you're saying, you know, I think Jesus wants me, I think I'm going to have to do away with this habit. I'm going to have to stop going to that place. I'm going to have to not be around those one or two people that I actually know are not good for me, but I don't know anything different. See, I think that's part of the hard part of change is this. We know that we know that we know that we need it, but sometimes it's that little bit of pain. And it's the little bit of the unfamiliar, like, what's it really going to be like in that water? I don't know. Even though you know, this pain that I'm so used to, it hurts and I'm so tired of it. But the enemy wants you to believe that you need that. That you need those people. That you don't belong here. Lie after lie after lie. And God in heaven sees you and he's running after you. He's running after you and he's sending other people to run after you, to get a hold of you, to change your life forever. And it's you saying, all right, I'm going to let go of this stuff. Because God wants to take you places just like he took Philip somewhere. He wants to take you better places. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. They are for good. But you got to leave behind the other stuff you've been holding on to. The last part of this story, it says the eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Last point here I want to share with you is baptism is a celebration, and we get to take the party with us. This party doesn't end. In fact, one of the cool things is that there was a party in heaven. Every time somebody rejoices, it says the angels throw a party. You get to take the party with you. You get to celebrate. Share it. Share it on social media, but more than anything, share it in your relationships. Tell somebody tomorrow, what I witnessed yesterday in church, I have to tell you. I have to tell you. The water's just fine. The water's just fine. When people were baptized, we celebrated. When the Ethiopian came up, what did he do? He celebrated. And what about Philip? I thought about this. What about Philip? It says he was snatched away. He didn't get to see the Ethiopian rejoice. Did he miss out? No. He just took the good news and started a party 20 miles down the road. Let's be party planners. Wherever you go, be a party planner. Think about that. Because here it is. I think it's intimidating when you see people in your workplace and your life and your neighbors. You're like, I don't know how to tell them about Jesus, but I know they need him. How do I start this up? You start listening. And you start talking to them. And you can just, here's the thing, start imagining what it would be like to see him right there. And then you start to get excited. As we wrap up here, I want to go back to the question that I asked, that I know a few of you are asking this question in some way, shape, or form, and you're saying, how can I get in that water? How can I get there? Because the word that this morning, I was just listening to some worship music, and I was listening to a song, I think it's called Breakthrough, and just meditating and praying, and I just felt God saying, there's a few people who need a breakthrough this morning. He sees you. He knows what's in your heart, what's in your life, what's holding you back, what's holding you down. And he's saying, I want to do something new in their life this morning. So if you will, just bow your heads with me. This is a moment between you and God right here, right now. He knows where you are. He knows the questions. I might not have said the exact question you've been asking, but he's heard your questions. And he's heard the lies that you've been believing. And right here, right now, he wants to set people free. So if you're here today and you're saying, I'm ready to take that step of faith. I want to know what it's like to be brand new. Whether for the first time or the first time in a long time, maybe you knew Jesus and you've walked away from him. Whatever it is, right now he's calling out to you. This moment in time, he saw it before it happened that I would be sharing this with you. And right now, I want to give you that opportunity. You can just pray with me this prayer. Confess with your mouth right now. Just pray along with me. If that's you and you want to be brand new, you want to be set free by grace right now. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. You died to set me free. And you rose again on the third day. And I'm ready for you to make me brand new. I surrender my life to you right now. In Jesus' name. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor.
If I could get everyone to stand with us. What a great word. Let's give Pastor Jay a great big hand. Incredible word. Thank you so much. Right now, some of you said that prayer, and maybe you've been thinking through the whole sermon, why not me, or asking that question. And if you're ready to take that step, we want to give you that opportunity. I know that some of you are ready to take that step, so I'm going to ask Jason to come on up. Jason's going to get into the baptism, and he's going to baptize those who are ready to take that next step. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'd like to take that next step, will you join us at the front? Wow. If I could get our volunteer team to go ahead and come up and help assist with this. The worship team's going to go into one last song. We're going to celebrate these new baptisms right now. And so if you're still questioning, question no more. I want to pray over this and let you guys go ahead and take over. So Father, we thank you again for this day. God, this moment in time that you planned so long ago, before we were even born, you knew who would be here. You knew those that were just coming, they thought to celebrate someone else's baptism, but you had this set up for them. So God, right now I pray that the Holy Spirit would take over this room. Fill this place with your presence, God. God, I pray for confidence, boldness, assurance for those that are questioning, should I? Those who are maybe on the fence this morning, should I? God, I pray that they would have the boldness to take that next step. See, the only requirement for baptism is salvation. If you've given your heart and your life to Christ, you can be baptized. So if you said that prayer just a few moments ago, you're ready to be baptized. Your next step is baptism. One thing I was reminded of right before the service was when Jesus went down, the Father looked down and he said, "That's my Son. That's my Son in whom I am well pleased." This was before Jesus started his ministry. This is before he said anything. This is before he did any of the miracles. That is my Son. He didn't have to perform for it. That's my Son. That's my daughter in whom I'm well pleased.